Good morning. There's a nice breeze every once in a while that comes in. We do have fans, those of you that are here for long term, that when it really gets hot, we actually will put them out. So don't flip out, you know, just yet on that. Thank you guys for leading in worship. I appreciate it very much. It's wonderful to have live music and just be able to focus on the words that are said. And before I get started, we pray. One of the things that really spoke to me was thinking about a flower in the ocean and how small that is and how quickly that fades away. And yet, God loves us. Even though for us right now, like, our life is a big deal, right? Like, to us, I know, especially for our personalities, right? It's all about us. But really and truly, when you think about that, and we're going to be talking about money today, and where our focus is, and where our priorities are, and how short of an opportunity we have on this planet. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. And we just thank you for you. We thank you for you creating us. We thank you for somehow connecting us with you. And I just pray, God, that as we struggle with connecting with you, that something will continue to stir, that people will be put in our path, that you will help us focus on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have been in this series called The Good and Beautiful Life. It's part two of, I guess, The Good and Beautiful God, The Good and Beautiful Life, and The Good and Beautiful Community. And a primary focus has really been our heart, as is any issue, I think, or anything with faith. But our heart is something that is inside of us, for instance, in our faith. And our outward actions is a result or an indication of where our heart is. The good news is it doesn't mean that if we have bad outward actions that we can't help our inward heart, that we can't allow transformation to take place. But today we're speaking about storing up our treasures in heaven or on this earth. And oftentimes we can just easily lose focus so quickly. I want to share a story with you when I wish I could say most stupid things happen as early in my marriage, like they don't still happen. But I will say I feel like that they're lesser than as we age. But there was a time I used to sell cars. I was a new car salesman and a used car salesman, all the lovely indications that you can get from that. But nonetheless, I was into things. I was into buying cars. I once bought a car and sold that car in 3 weeks. I've done a lot of crazy things, but one of the things that came about was that I wanted to make more money. And because I wanted to make more money, I wanted to give Denise more security, because those of you that know Denise knows that she can tend to worry sometimes. And I always felt this pressure that I need to make more money so that she doesn't worry. And I felt like that was the connection, right? And I also like to buy nice things. I told you a story about speakers and all that. If I had made more money, I wouldn't have had to lie about that, right? So these seemed like good solutions to my problem. Money seems like a good solution. And so an opportunity came to me when my cousin's best friend, he works or really is vice president of a marketing firm in Cincinnati, Ohio. And he tells me all the money that these guys are making, you know, $200,000 to $400,000 a year. And if you've got a good personality and you're a hard worker, that this can happen. So I was like, well, shoot, yeah, I'd like to make $200,000 to $400,000 a year. So anyway, so Denise and I have this long discussion. I can remember it just in my head just so easily, is that we were walking in our neighborhood in Jonesboro, Tennessee. We're walking through, and we're basically arguing back and forth and how I'm saying we need to move. And she's like, I don't want to move. I like my job. I like this area. I'm not moving. I'm like, well, I want to move because I want to make money, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. Long story short of it, I moved. She didn't. And we were separated, not like marital separation, but stubbornness separation, for about 4 or 5 months. Now, I wish that I could say that I moved to Cincinnati and she quickly followed after me because I made so much money. But I didn't. But I do know that there came a point in time when I had to make a decision. Regardless whether I was making money or not, I was still pursuing money. Do you get the difference? My pursuit was to get something other than to be in relationship with my wife, which is funny because in the back of my mind, I thought I was doing a good thing. But anyway, the thing is that we think that this brings us happiness. You know, we think that when we have enough money, we can have security, right? You sometimes look at advertisements, and they know this about the connection with, like, safety, security, happiness, and all these things, and you'll see advertisements, and you'll see retirement advertisements on TV, and you'll see that, you know, this nice elderly couple, but young-looking elderly couple, you know, they're on vacation somewhere because they've saved up and they've taken care of their money. Or you'll see, like, this car that, you know, all of a sudden breaks because of this automatic state-of-the-art system that costs a lot of money, but my goodness, like, it saved your life, so I've got to have that. So we get these pictures in our heads that somehow people lived without all this stuff before many years, but we get these pictures that we need more money. And we think that like if we just had a little bit more, that it would be better maybe. Now, I want to mention to you or really have you think about yourselves. I just gave you a few examples, but what is it about money that makes you happy? Now, don't act like money doesn't make you happy, okay? I don't want you being holier than thou in here right now. I want you to realize two things, and I'm going to hit on both of you because there's two different sides usually in every couple, or there's two different sides in your head. Some of us that are thrifty spenders, we think that we don't have a concern for money, but I'm going to enlighten you in just a second. The term that we're dealing with today is called avarice. Not avarice, but avarice. I looked it up because I didn't know how to exactly pronounce it, and I heard, like, Miss Siri tell me. But avarice is an excessive desire for money or material possessions, not to be confused with greed. Greed is kind of a general statement. Greed is something, you know, like that you have a greed for food, you have a greed for attention, you have a greed for multiple things, but avarice is something that is specific to money. It's a greed, rather, for money. And like I said before, both stingy, thrifty spenders and outlandish people who like nice things can fall and have this, we'll call it, disease. Here are the symptoms. We've always got to have symptoms for disease. I want you, again, I'm going to focus in. See if this is you. Do you feel happy and secure when you either buy a new item or save a bunch of money on a discount item at the store? Do you fear that you will run out of money? This may not be all of you, but these are just some. Is the belief that if you just made a little bit more money, then life would be better and easier. Like, if you just had a little bit, right? I mean, an extra 100 crowns, you know, a month. Or maybe this is you. Can you sleep at night before a big purchase? Either in excitement that you're going to make this purchase, or out of fear and terror that you're making the wrong decision because money is so important. We buy this lie that these possessions, that either whether it's a material possession or whether it's actually the green stuff or the yellow stuff or the crown stuff or the gold stuff or whatever stuff, that it's going to make us secure and happy. But I want to read to you from the Message. I like the way that this translation is for this specific passage. If you would put it up there for me, I'm gonna read it. And I've got the NIV here, so I'm going to read from the screen, if you guys don't mind. It says, don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. And lastly, you can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both. So there's three things in there that we're going to talk about. The first is Jesus talks about two kinds of treasures. And that's heavenly treasures and earthly treasures. Now, I want to clear up something because oftentimes we can get focused on, when we think of heavenly, we can think of that doesn't pertain to me right now. We can think that because Jesus is speaking about heaven, that means that somehow I'm supposed to focus on things that I can't really see or know that they exist, and yet I'm supposed to ignore earthly things that are here. But that's not what he's talking about here. See, heaven is this. Heaven is people. Heaven is things that are kingdom building. Heaven is things that last forever. And I think that's why we can get money so confused. Because money can be handed down from generation to generation. And oftentimes we can get trapped into thinking that if I make enough money, that at the very least I can give it to my children. Or at the very least I can give it away to different people and different things. And I think that's how we get off there. But then the other thing is that the earthly stuff is not so much like we're here on this earth, I'm thinking, you know, terribly, but it's rather the things that can rot. You know, as he says, that they can rust or that moths can go into. But when we think about possessions, possessionally minded. So instead of thinking about earthly and heavenly things, which you can if you can do that, I want you to think about possessions or people. Think about the things that you can put your hands on or the things that you have conversation with, okay? So how is it? How do we store up treasures on earth? Well, you first are selfish. That's how you do it. It's kind of bluntly put, but you think about self. And you think that, well, I really do need this extra whatever. I'm not even going to say because I might get in trouble. But we think about it. We always think this. We think, like, for example, this is an easy one. And it doesn't work as well here in Europe because people don't care as much about phones over here, I don't think. They do, or they're starting to, but that's another point. Is that, you know, if you've got a phone and it's an expensive phone, I think that there's something okay with having an expensive device. But I think the challenge is that if you feel that you need an expensive device every year that device comes out, When this device works perfectly well and fine, you feel the urge that, oh, I gotta have that new feature, right? Possessions. You can think in your head of many other things, but that's just a simple illustration of something that doesn't last. It's something that's gonna rot and it's gonna die away, or the battery's gonna go dead, or like whatever it might be. And then the other is this, is the people side. It's the treasures in heaven. How do you interact with people on a day-to-day basis? When you walk by them, do you put yourself in their shoes? Do you look for a need that maybe you could invest in? How is it that you react or interact, rather, with people in your life? And lastly is this, is that in your treasures or even the money that maybe God has blessed you with, are you giving that to something that's never going to affect you? Because see, it's easy even like in church, right? So like let's say we're wanting to, I don't know, I didn't plan this part, but I'm just trying to think of like there's something that we want as a church, right? Let's say we want this globe ball here, and it's going to look really pretty, and it's going to make us feel like we're all in worship mode, okay? And so we see that as a necessity, and so we raise money for that, and it's a good globe ball that makes us worship really well, but that's still something that we benefit from. So what if we thought heavenly minded that was not something that affects us specifically? That's thinking heavenly towards. Anyway, I ranted a little too far on that one. But the other is verses 22 through 23. I don't know if you can get there, Denise. It says, your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, your eyes, what a dark life you will have. See, this is something that I think is done in our lives that we don't even realize it. Is that the squinty eyes, meaning greed and distrust. And see, I never have thought about this until this morning, actually, when I was going back over and through this. Sometimes our lack of trust in others is our fear that something is going to be taken away from us. And because things have been taken away from us, our piece of our heart in a relationship, or like our deception of somebody, or our job, or whatever it might be, has been taken away from us. And so here it says that the squinty eyes is greed and distrust. On the other hand, if we live with open, wide eyes, that we are looking to God, that we are seeking priorities, and we're trying to find where it is that God wants us. What is kingdom building oriented? What is our focus? It also talks about trust and our belief and our understanding of God. If we are trusting and opening our eyes and experiencing God and all his goodness, we are then experiencing good and beautiful life. And thirdly is this, two masters. In verse 24, it says, you can't worship two gods at once, loving one God. You'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both. In my original story, when I moved to Cincinnati and I was being stubborn, really is what it was, in the back of my mind, I wanted to make more money, but it was because I wasn't happy with where I was, and I was trying to pursue something that I thought would make me happy. I had this false narrative, this false security that if I accomplished this and that, that happiness would come in. But the truth was, is that I couldn't do both. Not in that scenario. Sometimes you can make money, and that's in a little bit of a different place, and you can still have a good marriage and, you know, all that. But for me, at that moment in time, my focus was such that if I kept pursuing money, I would have never had Eli and Ada, because we would have never stayed married. I would never be able to be serving with my wonderful, lovely wife if I had chose the God of money. There's things in our lives that we have to realize that it's bigger than making more money, or it's bigger than saving money. So what is it then? What is the cure for avarice? How do we really switch gears and understand that trusting and loving and seeking God, how does that really sink in to our lives? According to Richard Foster, simplicity is this. It's an inward reality that results in an outward lifestyle. Again, what does that sound familiar with to what I said in the beginning? Our heart. Simplicity of the heart. Having rest with where you're at and not longing for something. I don't want to say longing for something more, because I think that we should long for better and greater things, but longing, that thinking that something is going to fulfill your heart other than God. If we understand that our blessings come from God, and not that we have blessings from God because we are good. Do you see the difference? Because in the Old Testament, a lot of times they always were like, oh, if we're wealthy and we're good, then God loves us. No. If we understand that everything that we get from God, all the blessings that we get from God that are from Him, and not that those blessings are God, we can then start a simplicity life, and we can ask these questions. And there's more, and you get to come up with them on your own. But here's a couple. Do I really need this? Will it bring me kingdom joy and not just temporary happiness? There's a book out there. Does this bring me joy? Well, I would ask, does this bring you kingdom joy? Does this really influence people? Is this really going to help build relationships? Is there something that is more pressing to put my money towards for kingdom building? And see, there's another side, is that if you get there and you actually get to where you can switch a gear and you cannot be concerned about having the latest and greatest or having this or that and actually putting your money towards kingdom building things, There's always a back end that you have to be careful of, right? It's called legalism. Because sometimes what happens is, if you're really good at that and you go, I'm not a spender, I'm saving, or I'm doing this, you can easily fall into the trap of like looking at others. Last week, Victor talked about judging. You can easily fall into the trap of judging others because I cannot believe they bought that Mercedes-Benz. Like, that's ridiculous. But guess what? We don't know what happened with that purchase. We don't know how much money these people make. We don't know what is going on in their hearts. And also, we don't know where anybody is financially, socially, or spiritually. None of these things do we know. All we can do is set our priorities straight and understand, are we looking towards heavenly things or earthly things? To worry about other people, my goodness, we don't need to do that. Let's drop it at that. So, here it is verse 22, if we could put that back up there. And I like this, I really do. It just says, your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide and in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If our eyes are open, this could be a Bible study that we could talk all about lots of good things if our eyes are open. Imagine what you could see if your eyes were open with generosity and trust. Imagine what could happen if your eyes were open with generosity and trust, that you wouldn't think that somebody is going to take something from you. Would you be willing to serve without this fear or expectation that something else is going to be required? If we let our focus be on God's love for humanity through what Jesus did on this earth and ultimately the cross, and if we let the resurrection be a reminder of the power of love that lives inside each of us to keep our focus on Jesus, we would understand that this resurrection power that raised Jesus from the grave, we would understand that with open eyes and open hearts and open minds, that we could see things and we could be compassionate and empathetic towards people that need to know and love the love, really, that Jesus gave us. And so ultimately, at the end of it all, it's about priorities. Where are our priorities? Where is our focus? And do we trust, like that song that we sang, do we understand that we're just a little time in this big ocean, and that God is allowing us to be a part of that? And what does that look like? Amen. So here's the fun part, especially for those of you that got rid of things before you moved over here. The soul training is to give away 5 things. And I'm not talking about like a dirty sock, okay? Like I'm talking about something that will actually bring joy to somebody else. I know that sounds probably a little bit hypocritical after we just talked about things don't bring joy. But if there's a book, maybe, that you have either read or that you have 2 of, if there's somebody that you know that could benefit from that, or if it's an extra jacket, not that you'd want a jacket right now, but if it is an extra jacket or an extra purse or a set of shoes that have been sitting in your closet that you think you're going to wear and you just don't. Whatever it might be, the goal is 5 things. And I would say like this. I know that we do these soul trainings on a weekly basis, but I would rather you take some time and give this some thought. That if there's 5 things that you could give to somebody to let that happen and see what happens, like once you give it, and let it be a big thing, like let it be something that stings a little bit, because I think that what we'll find is that once we give it away, we'll see where God can kind of like fill in the gaps there, and we'll get a little bit less attached to things. So that's the goal for the week. 5 things that we can give away.